Let's pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I am delighted to be here this morning and to participate in worship with you all and to hear your music again. The only thing that's different is when I was here before, I used to go home and take a nap and then come back for the evening service. So today I'll just have to have an extra long nap. It sort of feels like a marathon with three services all in a row. And I'm also happy that Pastor Bob and Marlou can have a little bit of time away. I understand that they were going to go visit with her family. I read recently that the second Sunday of Easter is often referred to in the Christian church as Low Sunday. No more Easter lilies everywhere and not as many people, and the pastor is taking the Sunday off. And someone has suggested that to be in worship on the Sunday after Easter can feel a little bit like showing up at a party late where most of the guests have gone home and the ones that are remaining tell you all the fun that you'd missed. And of course, we missed that first Easter by some 2,000 years. We can read the accounts, but we were not really there. We did not see and touch the experience for ourselves. Yet even though we missed the first Easter, and even though you have a substitute preacher for today, the scriptures proclaim that the Easter journey continues. God has shown us in the resurrection of Jesus that God's word to us is life, now and in the future. Easter is a momentous event that keeps happening in the church. As you just heard, this morning's text contains two resurrection stories: Jesus meeting the disciples on Easter evening, and then a week later, Jesus' encounter with Thomas. Remember, on Easter evening, Jesus bestows on his disciples his peace, and then he commissions them to do the work that God had given him. A week later, Thomas, who was absent for the first appearance, asks for some tangible sign in order to believe. And the risen Christ appears again, offering words of forgiveness and grace. Peace be with you, Thomas. Such beautiful words. And Thomas responds, "My Lord and my God." You can imagine how much those words of peace meant to all the disciples, because they had ultimately all failed Jesus. The one they had celebrated on Palm Sunday was arrested and mocked and crucified, and they were left watching helplessly from the shadows, and Peter even denied knowing his Lord. Yet when the risen presence of Jesus appeared to his disciples, he came with two Easter gifts: peace and the Holy Spirit. Not only were they forgiven, they were called to carry on, to serve others in love and kindness after the example of their Lord. The Gospels report that Christ still comes among us, even when we are afraid or hiding or doubting. Bishop Will Willimon was teaching a seminary class one day, and he invited his students to see if they could sum up the gospel in just very few words. One of the students came up with just one sentence. He said, "In the Bible, it gets dark, and then it gets very, very dark, and then Jesus shows up." A young woman wrote of her experience in the darkness. I found her story in an old publication of Upper Room Disciplines, and I read in your bulletin that Claudia still keeps those available. They are just wonderful devotionals. Anyway, this woman wrote that in 1998, she was a new pastor. She had just graduated from seminary, and she was serving a rural 5-point charge in Zimbabwe. She said, "I was naive. I'd had no pastoral experience. I trusted the people who were telling me what to do more than Christ, who had called me." She said, "This brought stress and confusion to my life." She said, I dreaded opening the door to start a new day. Have you ever felt that way? I think most of us have. At some point in our life, we get up in the morning and we just kind of dread starting the day. There's something that we have to face and we wonder how we're going to do it. But then one day she wrote that she was standing right in the middle of her house and she heard a voice say to her, "Beauty, Jesus is right here with you, not as a visitor, but as one who wants to guide you." Immediately, she felt a sense of peace. She felt that she was truly able to believe that the risen Christ was there with her and would never leave her. This woman later became the first female dean of the Faculty of Theology at African University. And I think that's one of the universities the United Methodist Church helps to support. God does not leave us alone in this world without Christ, but reappears in our lives again and again and breathes the breath of life into us and offers us hope through God's Holy Spirit. I'll share a personal example with you, and this is probably one that I have shared before. On the day when my dad passed away, I had just arrived at the care facility in Santa Cruz when a woman walked into his room. Actually, she was just standing in the doorway. I don't know who she was. She may have been a nurse, or she may have been the one who served the meals or swept the floors. She asked my dad, "Who will you be joining on the other side?" He answered, "My mother." His mother had died when he was 8 years old. This woman whose presence and words had reminded us of God's peace and loving presence smiled and left the room. I never saw her again. That was 17 years ago, but I still treasure the assurance I felt that the risen Christ was with us, welcoming Dad to his eternal home. You and I never know when our love, our presence, our faith, our kind words will be a sign of God's life-giving love to another. The risen Christ shows up again and again to bring new life. Easter wasn't just last Sunday, but Easter continues. Easter keeps happening. God keeps making something out of nothing, raising up life and hope an opportunity for service to those in need. Last month, when Riviera Church served the community outreach lunch, a young woman came through the food line. She wouldn't take much food, and she kept saying to the people who were serving, "I'm fine, I'm fine." After the meal, she asked Andrea, who was in charge, where the nearest ATM could be found because she wanted to make a donation to help with the ministry to the homeless and the hungry. She went on to explain that after vacationing in Hawaii, she was returning home to Norway. And since she had a 12-hour layover at the airport at LAX, she decided to ride Metro 232, which runs from LAX to Long Beach. Can you imagine going to another country and deciding to ride the bus? I'd rather sit and sleep at the airport, I think. But it's amazing how God works in our lives. Because when she was on the bus, she visited with some of the travelers, and one of them, whose name was Gary, said to her, we're on our way to church to have lunch with our friends, and we'd love to have you join us. Well, as soon as she entered the room, she realized that it was a community outreach meal that was being served. But she didn't want to embarrass those who had offered the invitation to lunch, and so she went through the food line, taking as little as possible so the food wouldn't run out. And then she sat at the table with all the friends that she had met on the bus, and they had a wonderful time visiting. Well, later, when she presented her donation, she said, "I had a wonderful time. The food was delicious, and I felt so blessed to be here." And as she walked out of the door to return to the airport, her table mates waved and sent her off with a cheer. Blessings have a way of multiplying, and we never know when God will call us to share a blessing and how those blessings will be returned to us. Reverend Martha Rowlett, in her latest book on prayer, writes about a neighbor's conversation with her four-year-old. Evidently, the four-year-old was just learning how to count. And one day, he asked his mom, he said, "Mom, what is the last number?" I suppose he thought he was never going to get there. Well, his mom responded with, "Only God knows." A few days later, the boy came back to his mom to report, "I don't think there is a last number. God is still making numbers." The Spirit of the risen Christ, God's gracious love, shows up again and again to offer peace and hope and many blessings through our service to others. And the blessings that we share with others have ways of multiplying, ways that we would never be able to imagine. We were watching the news the other night, and they were sharing a story from Steve Hartman's On the Road. And it was a story about a boy by the name of Miles Eckert. He was at a Cracker Barrel restaurant in Ohio. He found a $20 bill in the parking lot. He started thinking about what he could spend it on, and he thought he'd really like to get a video game. But then he changed his mind when he saw a young man in uniform. He walked up to the man and he said, "I found this in the parking lot when we got here, and we'd like to pay it forward in our family. It's your lucky day. Thank you for your service," he told the man. This young boy's dad was killed in Iraq just 5 weeks after Miles was born, And all he had ever known of his dad were the pictures he'd seen and the other people's memories and what he would think of in his own imagination when he thought about his dad. Well, the soldier in the parking lot also paid it forward by giving that $20 away. And that $20 has been multiplying ever since. Because after the boy's story aired on TV, a lot of people wanted to give Miles his $20 back. And the family, instead of taking the money, decided to give those donations to Snowball Express, which is a charity that helps kids who have lost a parent to war. And so far, when I looked this up on the internet, so far donations total more than $250,000. It's a lot of $20 bills, isn't it? Easter continues. The risen Christ leads us into the future with the promise of life and hope. And the Spirit inspires and empowers us to love and care for each other, to love and care for others. The four biblical accounts of the resurrection don't tell us very much, and each story tells the resurrection in a little bit different way. We don't have any detailed account, but what we do know is that the frightened disciples who had been cowering behind bolted, locked doors emerged from hiding as fierce, fearless followers who could not stop talking about Christ and the resurrection, and who continued to offer love and hope even in the face of persecution, arrest, and their own martyrdoms. The Easter journey continues. And like the young woman in Africa discovered, we need not dread opening the door to start the new day, because Christ is alive. Christ is present. And that is the Easter joy that continues as we continue on our journey. Amen.